The Around the NFL Podcast. Isn't sure if it will be attending OTAs this year.
Welcome back to another edition of the Around the NFL Podcast. My name is Dan Hansis, and I'm joined by a room filled with heroes, Mark Sessler, Connor Orr, Marron, and Greg Rosenthal. What's up, boys?
And nobody knows what to say.
I know. I didn't want to. You can't step on that iconic.
That's true.
So
that's
what's
true.
Up?
Connor, welcome to L.A. You got in just today, and you're going to sit in the studio for two shows. We're very excited about that. And, yeah, you are sitting in the chair of Chris Wessling, who, of course, if you heard Thursday's show or perhaps if you're plugged in on social media, Chris made his big announcement about his health issue. And he is, Tybee Island still enjoying himself with the Paramore. And maybe we'll try to track him down a little bit later. But we want to a real heavy thank you to the entire audience, everyone that reached out to Wes on social media, reached out to us on behalf of the people that were blocked that reached out to us saying, even though we're blocked by Wes, yeah. We want to send him well wishes. And, of course, the subreddit, which we love, the Around the NFL subreddit, where there was a GoFundMe started to cover Wes's bar tab, and so much was put towards that GoFundMe. A, it made Sydney jealous. I'm just going to be honest with you.
Yeah.
You would think that she would feel good for all the support Wes got in a tough time, but no
it was kind of like
she was like, hey, that's more money than my money.
She
like,
is awash in raging materialism at this point in her life, and there's no reverse on
like
that.
Like a character assassination. I don't know about any.
A little on your corner though. At least acknowledge that, like Wes, a little bit on your corner with this.
Sure, maybe he can be new money now.
But you guys were so nice to Wes that they had to shut down the GoFundMe at a certain point. But obviously a really nice gesture from everybody.
Yeah, I don't want to speak for Wes, and maybe we'll get a hold of Wes later on in the show. Longtime listeners will remember we've called Huckaboos before. He's been there sometimes. Sometimes he is not. But it just as obviously we're a family here with the podcast, and it's I don't know. I was checking on it. Couldn't help check on it throughout the weekend, and it really is awesome to think about all the listeners and all the support he's getting, and I'm sure he really appreciates it. And we all do as a group because we are a group, and it's cool to see in a time like
this. And just to be clear, I don't know about you, I received upwards of 1,000 tweets from blocked from people that he has blocked.
That's what I mean.
Which says a lot.
Yeah,
which says a lot.
Many, 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 many tweets, and almost all of them positive. So,
and not to mention
on the internet, that's a big deal.
That is
for it to be almost universally positive.
Not to mention a little update before we move on to a big show. I mean, Wes not only drops the news on the show later that night. We have our softball game, and he hits for the cycle. Kind of a legendary
big
performance.
Play ball. Another big win for the Shield, and Wes had a big day out of the leadoff hole. And, we don't know when we're going to have Wes back here. We don't know when he'll be back with the softball team. But obviously he's, on our minds as we move forward. And now Connor cuts in at almost a suspiciously
By the way, very modest ahead. By the skip. The skip has been mashing this year like it's 1988 Jose Canseco.
Well, that team is like
– performance-enhancing drug.
That's Dan.
It's the first game that I watched this season. It is essentially the 89 Niners. The opponent that rolled in there – You tatted them up. They were left in bits. And Greg is not. Greg should also acknowledge, not that he should about himself, but he showed incredible speed. And he's kind of like a Julian Edelman character out there. He does a little bit of everything. Made some big plays.
We told Greg, I told Greg, because he needed to get some cleats because he was debating whether he was going to wear sneakers to play third base, which felt like a terrible idea. He went to the local sporting goods store. What does he show up with? Gleaming white cleats, a huge like Joe Namath-esque statement, Connor, and then he backed it up with a very, very strong game on both sides of the ball.
He reminds me of sort of a like that BJ Surhoff sort of versatile guy, you know. So I think it all fits.
You're a little BJ like.
I'll take that.
So yes, Connor now slides into Wes's chair for the time being. The next two shows, we're excited to have you aboard, Connor, and get that mind thinking. I know it's always cranking. We might have to do a live, or are you kidding me?
Please.
On Wednesday.
I love it. I mean, the last one got such good feedback.
Yeah.
Our boy was just ripping on the guitar. That was
I'll have to reach out to Kakongo too and see if we can get this.
I could feel that in New Jersey, you know.
It would be contingent on you being annoyed by something new since that last
appearance. That won't be hard.
Okay.
Today's show is a breakdown of all things NFL related. And some would say, hey, it's, you know, May 15th. What possibly could there be to talk about? And the answer is not a lot. So we'll see you. Thank you for listening. Today we're going to talk about Greg has been cranking away while everyone else is just kicking their feet up. Greg has been wailing away, really pounding on this projected series, projected starter series.
We get it.
Division just really hammering like a jackrabbit on this projected starter series. You went all the way through the AFC. You're moving your way through the NFC now. So.
Yeah.
You've studied these teams closely, Greg, so this felt like a good time. Some things that have jumped out to you that maybe you weren't aware of before this exercise began.
Some takeaways, see what you guys think.
Big, fancy takeaways, even.
Ooh, I like that.
And, yeah, and we will also try to track down Wes, if possible, and then we'll do some news. And to do that, we'll go behind the glass, the first lady of the Around the NFL podcast. Probably not actually jealous, probably legitimately happy for Wes to get that support like the rest of us. I'm just going to go out on a limb.
Yeah, I actually got a little emotional reading through the Reddit this weekend because it's amazing. Honestly, like, who has better listeners than us? No one.
That's true.
True.
Who's got it better than us? Remember that? That was a thing.
That came and went.
Nobody! Wow, we're speaking of the subreddit, we are 119 subscribers away from 5,000. Wow.
Let's do it.
Do we have any music to build this up? Once they hit the 5,000 mark, that is when we will at random pick someone on that subreddit and something amazing will happen to their life. We haven't figured it out yet. Or even talked about it privately.
We'll start a GoFundMe for them and they will suddenly be individually wealthy.
Extremely wealthy.
I got some ideas.
Let's do some news.
There's no such things as curses. It's a total myth, okay?
Tom Brady continuing his onslaught of culture after being named the Madden cover boy. And maybe, Tom, just take a break. Go spend some time with your kids and stop shooting viral videos. Because you got a big season coming up. I'm not going to tell you how to be a father or how to be a husband. But let's just break it down a little bit before training camp. That's all.
I mean, if anything...
Sounds like you are telling us that.
Yeah, he would consider you a close ally. So he would be listening.
Let's start with the Buffalo Bills, where Tyrod Taylor, after what seemed it seemed like it was curtains for Tyrod in Buffalo, he ended up coming back to the team. The rest of the regime changed. And that doesn't guarantee, though, that Tyrod Taylor will be the Bills' starting quarterback because new GM Brandon Bean... Where does that rank, by the way, Connor, in your general manager name power rankings?
It just feels made up. It's like your generic executive in Madden. Like, yeah. If you don't pick a name, it's just assigned to you.
Yeah.
Brandon Bean.
Yeah, the Bean counter,
the
I call
Bean
him.
Man.
Anyway, he told WGR Radio 550 on Monday that there will be a open competition at every position, including quarterback.
If we walked out there today, I would say Tyrod's probably the starter, but we haven't even gone through OTAs. You know, we got the young guy Peterman. I thought he did some nice things this weekend at the mini camp. You know, Cardell Jones has a, you know, a huge arm and talent. I don't know anything about him personally. TJ Yates is, you know, has done some starting in his career. So there are some guys on this roster.
I guess Greg is being honest.
He is being honest. There are some guys on this roster. I don't know anything about Cardell Jones personally. Maybe it's time to find out. He's your backup quarterback, Brandon Bean. I don't like this disrespect for Tyrod Taylor. I mean, give me a break. I understand open competition and all that, but there are different rules when it comes to quarterbacks, and he's being paid $15 million a year, and there's no one else on the roster. So it just seems like a continuation of the general disrespect for Tyrod Taylor.
It seems unnecessary, and there really isn't a number two guy in there that you think is going to come in the next couple of months and steal snaps away from Tyrod Taylor.
What
makes you wonder a little bit.
Yeah,
though.
Connor, what does it hurt just to say Tyrod's our guy? He's done it with his team, and we're happy to have him, and he's our guy this season. Why does everything have to be an open competition?
Well, I feel like when you become a GM, you have to decide whether you're going to be the he's our guy or we're going to compete guy. And you can't pick one of those. Like, John, it's a competition.
But that's because they didn't have a quarterback.
Right, but you just have to go down that road, you know? In his opening press conference, it was churn the bottom of the roster, competition. So from now on, you have to be the competition guy at every position.
I guess I would like to follow up, if I'm there, is like, is LeSean McCoy competing then with Jonathan Williams? So that's open between those two. And let's see what he
well,
says.
Well, that's, you know, that's what the corner of this guy's backed himself into. So, yes, I assume.
You got to imagine with Tyrod Taylor, if he's seen these comments yet or heard the comments, just a massive, like, Tina Fey 30 Rock eye roll for the ages. Because, like, am I going to go through this again? Like, this is my life now? This is what every regime comes in and doubts me? And I'm in Western New York. How did this happen
to me? It's a bit much.
He's also made like a Pro Bowl, and he's been like a moderately productive starter.
If nothing else, it's a reminder that this is very much a one-year deal, and they are going into this not feeling like they're committed to him after this year.
Moving on, Eddie Lacy is the running back for the Seattle Seahawks. He signed that incentive-laden contract with the Seahawks after a few free agent visits. Back in March, and today was a deadline, his first weigh-in for what is called a weight clause incentive. He had to hit the scales at 255 pounds or less to make 55K, which is, you know, nothing to sneeze at. And Eddie got her done. 253 he came in,
nice.
So he makes $55,000. And in case you forgot, Bob McGinn of the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. I believe he recently retired, Bob.
He did.
Distinguished career. He reported back in March that Lacy weighed in at 267 for one of his free agent team visits. So if he was around that, he's lost about a dozen pounds to make this weight. And by the way, the Packers listed Lacy at 234 pounds last season, which, come on. Come on now.
That's a bit much.
So
isn't Eddie Lacy working with your girl, Autumn Calabrese? Both Mark and Connor, big fans.
Yeah,
of,
I mean,
really,
if you think Wes and Beachbody I are the kissing
fitness
cousins, this guy,
yeah,
Connor right
on
here, we both do the Beachbody, and it does work, right?
Yeah.
Isn't that what Eddie Lacy's doing or something similar?
Yeah.
It is. It is Beachbody. That exactly.
And his agent like sent it out very proud of, you know, his client that they got the weight. And I was kind of thinking, well, 55,000 on the line, that's pretty – he cut it pretty close.
Also, though,
a couple pounds there.
It's fair.
Is weight the best like indicator here? Like, wouldn't you want to do like body fat? Like, you can starve yourself and hit a weight goal, but then you're not going to be a very effective running back.
Something tells me Eddie Lacy had a terrible weekend.
I
think the issue for him is like, I think in the off season you can do one of these programs and absolutely lose that weight.
Absolutely.
It seems the minute he gets dumped into the team complex, the week to week procedures, the way that thing operates, that's where he fell off the rails last year.
Well, this got me thinking, actually. This is a true story. This is not a bit. I went to the Santa Monica Public Library and Farmers Market thing they got going on Saturday. And Autumn Calabrese, your girl, had a public event there that day where she was going to do a public workout with
Greg,
with you
did not text me?
I took a picture of it, but it was canceled. So maybe she was called over to Lacy to do some last minute.
What, was it lack of interest? Was
that? I don't know. It just said canceled.
No, Dan, it was not.
There was a sign up with her very fetching picture, but then right across it said canceled. I took a picture of it.
Well, Connor's in town for a couple days, but it's like the Beachbody headquarters about 5 minutes from this building. So
let's get over
Beachbody
there.
We'll storm it. Greg, you need to be letting us know when that kind of thing is happening,
okay,
by the way.
That's a bad job, Greg. That's like,
Greg's
we have the
Greg's
biggest
like,
Autumn Calabrese fan here, and you're not even dropping
not
a,
say her name
a text?
Well, part of it was
Greg's like, one of my friends, I think, is maybe kind of vaguely into this.
I took a picture. I just forgot to send it over.
I appreciate that.
Yeah, I've got little kids running all around the place.
It's a little bit
worried
of
about
a,
them.
La Raville.
La Raville. Magnifico.
Put it this way. Let's say I saw Ellis Burks at the Grove here in L.A.
The Ellis Burks.
And the Ellis Burks, the former Red Sox outfielder that you idolize.
I named my daughter after.
Yes.
Yes.
And we were online together at Barnes & Noble, and he was a really nice guy. I said, hey, you're Ellis Burks, right? And then we had like a nice civil conversation. And I didn't like take a selfie or shoot you a text, and it came up like a week later in the middle of a podcast. Wouldn't you be like kind of like, dude, like why didn't you like fuck?
Well, she wasn't there though. It was canceled. That's the
thing. It's a different level of what could have been happening there.
Right.
Yeah, I understand.
She wasn't there, and meanwhile, I got my son running through the strawberry stands and like the tangerines one way, and my daughter's going off to the library. You know, like,
a lot of action.
I had the worst Mother's Day yesterday. I don't know about this Mother's Day holiday. I got to be honest with you. I love my mom, but if my kids are always going to be like this.
That was a very Francesa thing right there. I don't know about this Mother's
Day
thing.
Okay.
If my children are going to behave that way on Mother's Day.
Doesn't bode well.
Let's just wipe the whole thing, because no one was happy, including the lovely Emily. We try to go out to a nice breakfast. And my six-year-old is Satan personified. Yeah, 6 months old. What did I say?
6 years, yeah.
Feels like 6 years. And sweet Jack, 2.5 years old, he's starting to, I think, take bad habits from his little brother, which is not how this is supposed to work.
It can happen.
They're young. Once they're old enough to understand what the day is, you'll like it better.
Hey, Harrison, come back to us.
We hear that, Dan. I mean, in our house, Mother's Day simply means, Father's Day in reverse. I'm the father of these children all year long. She's the mother of these children all year long. You don't need more of them on that day because they're generally, you know, they're needy, excessively needy. You just lock you say to the wife, go in the room, sleep late. I'm going to take the kids out of your hair. Not let's go try to engage and have a civil child.
I dropped my wife off at the mall. That was her Mother's Day present.
Go be an adult, be a woman.
You know what? We're relatively newer than you are. Both of you guys, you have older kids than I do. So we thought that Mother's Day would be a nice time to spend time together as a unit. Whereas the reality was it is the recipe for an outright disaster of a morning.
It's apocalyptic.
And then it just starts rolling. You ready for kids yet, Connor?
I'm never having kids. Ever.
I do love my children, though. I want to make sure that's
well,
clear,
that is very evident to the listeners of the show today.
They tested my patience.
Harrison's first comeback to us of his life. Hopefully the last.
Can you imagine him listening to this, like, when he's, like, 11? Aww. It's going to be, like, a fun moment.
I would definitely play this for him, just to let him know what he was like. Anyway, Kansas City Chiefs first-round pick Patrick Mahomes. Tough situation. He was robbed along with three others on Friday night in Tyler, Texas. The Smith County Sheriff's Office confirmed to NFL Media. Mahomes and three friends returned home after attending a baseball game. As they pulled up in the driveway, another car blocked them in. Jeez. A robber. Well, Patrick wrote robber. We still using robber in the lexicon of society?
Crook.
Yeah.
Burglar.
Armed robber.
That's robber, see?
Dastardly duo.
I'm going to read it like old-timey now. A robber got out of his vehicle, see, and approached Mahomes and the others. No, this is very serious.
Call rewrite.
call the copper, see? Scram. Anyway, the robber got out of the vehicle and acted as if he had a gun in his waistband, and the robber then demanded the victim's goods. They complied.
Goods.
And the good news the good news is that Patrick Mahomes and his boys are okay, but that sounds unpleasant.
Who's robbing like a 6'4", like all these athletes that are getting held up? Who's deciding that that's the guy I'm going to follow?
Yeah.
You know?
Especially there, we don't have proof that the gun was in the band. Let's say the gun wasn't in the band. You are really rolling the dice there if you're trying to bluff your way towards like an uber athlete looking dude.
Just saying, there's shorter, doughier people like me. You could just, you know, and I'll just give you the wallet, you know?
Yeah.
That's not an issue.
In San Diego Chargers news, this is becoming a regular part of this podcast because Greg is moving away from the Patriots now and towards his hometown, Los Angeles Chargers.
It's where I live, not my hometown.
The Chargers released veteran guard Orlando Franklin on Monday, the team announced, and ESPN had first reported that. This is the same Orlando Franklin that signed a 5-year, $36.5 million contract just 2 years ago. It cost LA $2.8 million against the cap, leaving almost $5 million in dead money. Greg, this one didn't work from the start.
It didn't. It was a huge bust. Tom Telesco, their general manager, is now on the third iteration, really, of trying to rebuild this offensive line. He brought in another ex-Bronco, Russell Okung, who'll be their left tackle. They drafted two guards. But I thought it was worth mentioning because he was such a free agent bust. And Because this is the one thing that's going to ruin all of our Chargers' love that I have, is this, is him getting this offensive line right. He's shown that he hasn't been able to do it in the past, and they've got, they're going to have two rookies. Okung's coming over as a free agent. Like, maybe it works, maybe it doesn't, but that's kind of what stands in the way of this Chargers team being as good as we think they could be.
Is Russell Okung good, by the way?
I don't know. Seems okay.
I know he was a first-round pick, and
he'll
then Denver didn't keep him around. And now he's on his third team in 5 years or whatever.
I think you've painted
3 years.
You kind of come up with the answer to that to some degree. He's a patch. They're not enough of these guys.
I mean, they got rid of King Dunlap. They got rid of Franklin, who was like having Twitter wars with his own teammates.
Tough. Yeah, it is.
Job.
It's been a tough offseason to patch your offensive line. In other news, Mark, you pay attention to this, especially Antonio Cromartie. He got his wife pregnant again. Again, he's going to have his 14th kid.
And third post-vasectomy.
After the big V. He got the snip.
I thought that was somewhat of a permanent procedure that doesn't work all the time.
Yeah, if you're doing a winners and losers of this news, obviously winner, you know, the 14th kid, biggest winner there.
Yeah.
Loser, the guy who gave the vasectomy, bad for his business.
Right. Right?
He's known as... He's known as a guy that doesn't work.
Not exactly a lock it up operation. I mean, it's you were complaining about having two children on Father's Day. Try going out to a restaurant with 14 children.
You'd have to rent the back room. There's no other option.
I mean 14. Now we're talking like dead blues legends about children.
It's yeah. I mean, Philip Rivers at 8 feels like he's, you know, underwhelming here.
So should we start a GoFundMe for Antonio Cromartie? Because I'm telling you, he's out of football now, and between you know the kids and the mamas and everything, this is not a good situation.
Wait, are we considering him out of football now? He's done. I guess he doesn't have a team right now.
Did he play last year?
He played.
Guys made a lot of money.
Am I crazy? That's right. He was gone halfway through last season. You're right. He's gone.
Could be over, bro.
Anyway. I read a story about him, like, oh, how conscientious he is because he drives a Prius. And it's like, I don't think that's a choice right now. Like, that's kind of
– I mean, you covered him
you really
for a while,
have to
right?
downgrade the vehicle selection at this point.
Yeah.
The money's going elsewhere.
You did cover Antonio Cromartie.
Crow.
That's
got
Crow show. Yeah.
What are your thoughts on him one-on-one?
Nice guy. Like, super nice guy.
Potent. Yeah.
I mean, obviously, this female thinks he's nice. She continues to entertain the idea of more children, a larger family. How nice.
I think he got a bad rap because of the can't remember them all thing from Hard Knocks and then never really recovered.
Yeah, and he did, by the way, remember them all.
It's right.
People kind of misremember that as if he couldn't remember the kids. It just took him a second because at that point, I think he was naming 10 children.
Right, and
that
you
were under
and
age
he doesn't
of five
know which
years
ones
old.
He had like already said and which ones he hadn't. I mean,
it was a bad job by Hard Knocks.
By the way, I had a vasectomy conversation with somebody in this building, a friend of mine.
Oh,
just you know, you got to look at your options once you hit this phase of life, and he told me some sobering details about the process as well. So between that, I'll tell you about it off mic. It's a bit of a more intimate procedure than I was under the impression.
I would never in 1,000 years undergo that procedure.
Put it this way. You can get put under or you can get a local anesthesia. And if you go – here's the thing. If you go local
– It's local.
It's very intimate. And I will tell you off mic.
There isn't a huge desire to know, but you can tell me when the show.
But between this, between that, and the Crow news, you know, it's making me rethink some things. Finally, it's time to do some trope alerts.
Trope alert! Trope alert! Trope alert! Trope alert! Trope alert!
Connor, I feel like you have to write so many of these pieces on around the NFL. Here's one. I don't know if you wrote this one. Let's see. No. Our friend Max Meyer on the desk wrote this one. Doug Marrone on Blake Bortles. He's improved. There's no doubt about it. And there is a belief in the building that Blake Bortles' throwing motion, much derided throwing motion, is better. We buying it?
Do you think anyone would really freak out if we wouldn't allow reporters to talk to coaches and players for like 4 months? Out of the summer, just take some time off because this is forced. It's ridiculous, and he doesn't want to say. Doug Marrone doesn't want to say this either. You know, he doesn't want to look stupid and 3 months when he's still corking from like his back knee to throw passes.
The only other possible answer is he's not improved. I don't really know where he's at. I'm not studying his mechanics right now. And there's no reason to believe he'll still be on the team 3 years from now. I mean, you have to almost slide into the trope comment or create a bigger
because
what, beast.
The alternative is what happened last year where they said, like, he didn't really work on it. Like, and then
right.
To no, we can't let them alone. This is the company we work for, Connor. 24 hours every year.
This is
what's keeping our podcast going 3 times a week.
In England, right? They don't even interview the soccer players. They write their impressions. I'll write my impressions. Mm. Tell you what I think
that
of Blake Bortles.
Nice.
I don't need to talk to him.
There you go. Sound the horn again, please, Sid.
Trope alert. Trope alert. Trope alert.
Jared Goff is, trope quote, alert. Exceeding expectations in Sean McVay's offense. Same situation, right? Same exact situation.
I mean, and we mentioned this exact comment
at the end of the year
and at the end of the season, as soon as they hired Sean McVay, that there's going to be all this unnecessary buzz around this team and a quarterback that, frankly, until you show it to us in preseason or regular season games, don't care.
I mean, maybe he has an Alex Smith thing. Alex Smith was the worst quarterback anyone can remember as a number one overall pick and then was like, okay, his second year. Maybe he does that.
And finally...
Trope alert. Trope alert. Trope alert.
Jets quarterback Christian Hackenberg says, quote, without a doubt, I think there is a different level of confidence. Connor, you're buying this one. He's referring to himself, I believe. He has a different level of confidence.
He was so good that the team didn't want to reveal his tools towards the end of that miserable season last year. And listen, every time a coach tries to rebuild your throwing motion from scratch, it goes extraordinarily well. So this is going to be fine.
Yeah, a different
Christian
level of confidence.
Is real?
A different level does not necessarily mean better or boosted. It means different.
And that's what's happening in the news. Elevate your underwear game to the next level with me, Undies. What is the What is MeUndies? Just seriously soft, feel-good undies delivered right to your door. MeUndies are designed in L.A. and made from sustainably sourced micromodal, a fabric three times softer than cotton. MeUndies softer than soft, luxe undies come in an ever-changing selection of classic colors, bold shapes, and adventurous patterns so you can tailor your undies to your own personal style. And guess what?
What?
You can save time and money each month with a monthly subscription. And if you're not ready for a subscription, that's okay. You can still save. That's because MeUndies is offering you 20% off your first pair. Just use our special URL, MeUndies.com/NFL2017, and get 20% off your first pair. So go ahead, revamp your underwear drawer. You know why, Mark?
Why, Dan?
You deserve it.
I think I do after that. Well, so do you after this Mother's Day catastrophe that you endured.
Once again, that's MeUndies.com/NFL2017, MeUndies.com/NFL2017. There, I have gotten tweets, by the way, and MeUndies, tremendous product. It is not only comfortable, you got the micro Nadal, the Rafael Nadal, it's a bit of a performance-enhancing underwear on some level.
Visually, yeah, I think it is.
But I have had people reach out and say, we're waiting for that individualized offer code before we move forward with a purchase.
Yeah, listeners. And they seem interested. I've gotten those too, and they're very specific about their demand. Want the underwear, want to buy the product, but also need it to be credited to our podcast. Good on them. They're correct.
Do we want to try calling Wes?
Let's do it.
Let's give Wes. Chris Wessling, if you are not aware, before he's been around the block a time or two, in his years on this earth, born on the west side of Cincinnati, matriculated at some point to an island off the coast of Georgia, Tybee Island, where he lived for multiple years writing fantasy. That's eventually started working with Greg while living on the island and then moved to California. So occasionally he goes back to Tybee Island, and when he goes back to Tybee Island, Mark, he only goes – there's one place that he absolutely has to hit up every time. Where is it?
Huckapoo's, which is, by his account, I mean, one of the greatest bars on the planet. We've been looking at the photos of it. Looks tight.
Well, it's also the location of the 2019 Around the NFL live podcast spectacular,
yeah,
which will be taped on the weekend preceding the Super Bowl.
And it will happen. It will either be, as I've said before, we're either going to do a show there or the Around the NFL podcast will end that weekend. That's the stakes that we're talking about. We are finally holding the Shadowy Leaf figure's feet to the fire. A little fun fact before we get on the line. Huckapoo's is actually called Huckapoo's Bites and Booze. Hmm. Interesting. Hmm. So let's go. Maybe Wes is there. It's right around happy hour. You would think he's there, but he's also a very busy man. A lot going on in his life. Let's see. Busy or not busy at all?
It's happy hour.
Hi, is Chris Wessling available to chat?
Say again?
Chris Wessling, is he at the bar right now at Bites and Booze?
He's actually not here right now. He'll be up here a little bit later on. He's around the corner at a friend's house.
Oh, okay. Thank you very much for that information.
Yeah, you're welcome.
All right, bye-bye.
She seemed nice.
Wow. I know. I wanted to talk to her for a little while. I wanted to ask how she knew where he was. That kind of says it all. That she,
yeah.
She, like, he's not there, but she knows exactly where he is.
Yeah, we could have kept her on, but she sounded very busy.
That's true.
But it does. It says a lot that she knows not only that Wes is coming later, she can pinpoint where he is on the island.
Well, we've texted with Wes, and you can see it on, you know, he tweeted out a picture of him enjoying the high seas as appeared to be a captain of a boat. So he definitely looks like he's having a good time on Tybee.
All right, let's move on now. I wish we had caught him, but we could try again. When is he coming back?
He'll be back. He's flying back on Tuesday.
Okay, so that was our last chance to catch him in Tybee. That's an unfortunate thing, but it sounds like he's having fun. Let's move forward and talk about Greg's big fancy takeaways. This is how fancy these takeaways are. Greg is on the regular. We're doing these network hits fairly regularly. If you want to check DVR up to the minute live, we do about 3 minute hits almost every day right now, right around 4:50 Eastern time.
4:45, 4:50, yeah.
Yeah, right in that zone. But before that, Greg now is going on the network, a double dip situation, but only is wearing a suit and tie, kowtow to the man. And you are talking about this series. That's how it's caught fire. And I'll even say a competing website, to me anyway, is now ripping off the idea and using it on their own programming. Let's be fair, a certain giant nestled in the foothills between Boston and Manhattan is all of a sudden taking your idea and running with it a little bit.
Well, I didn't exactly, you know, discover the theory of relativity here, projecting starting lineups. But yes, we did notice ESPN was running their whole projected starters series this week. So I'm glad
I was trying to keep
him,
it vague, but now you're taking them on head on. The war is on now between
Target and Bristol.
Yeah, it's on. They've seen we've been doing this the last few years, and they wanted to jump on.
All right. So anyway, Greg's done great work with this. I could vouch for this. I've read this content, and you have taken a close look at these teams to figure out and write with some level of authority. What have been some big takeaways, big fancy takeaways from the teams that you've gone through, all the AFC, a little bit of the NFC? Let's start with one.
All right. Let's start with one of the NFC teams. It struck me looking at the Philadelphia Eagles, and you guys can tell me what you think. When I looked at their starting lineup, it looked about as unfinished as anyone in the league. Like, you know, at this point, you're past the draft. You figure you kind of have an idea of what's going on. But you look at the Eagles. First of all, Wendell Smallwood was my best guess for a running back. They have three running backs who are all these kind of smaller types, not necessarily between the tackles. Sure seems like they need another running back. Then you read the papers, which, you know, I tried to do some research trying to figure out where all these players fit. People think Jason Kelce could still get traded, that Michael Kendricks maybe could still get traded, although there doesn't seem like a ton of interest. There's even been some talk about Jordan Matthews possibly getting traded. And you add that all up, you take Howie Roseman, who loves to trade, who's always very active. They need a running back, and it just seems like a team where this starting lineup is not the finished one, that they're going to have to make some moves and to keep an eye on them in the coming months.
I was surprised that they weren't one of the teams in the first round that went after someone like Joe Mixon or locked down one of these higher-rated running backs, because it would have solved an immediate need at a place where these players were considered correctly slotted. And they come out of that without someone, and you got a second-year quarterback. You need to have a productive ground game. I like what they did in free agency by adding Alshon Jeffrey and Torrey Smith. That did a lot, but I agree with you. I think that it's an offense still in the making.
It's an odd roster construction for a team that is still kind of rebuilding a little bit, though. Like a lot of big one-year deals, like Alshon Jeffrey.
Yeah.
I mean, you're big. Really, I mean, obviously you went defense with the first-round pick, but Chris Long is a player that you don't really bring in if you're less than a few plays away.
Maybe.
So it just doesn't feel complete to me.
It makes that definitely – I agree with you on that, but it kind of makes sense, too, because – despite how great the Cowboys were, at least in my opinion, I feel like the NFC East is wide open. So you could kind of get away with that thing where you're building on the fly a little bit, where they're looking toward the future but still think they can contend. I think a lot of this, of course, goes back to Carson Wentz and how he progresses this year. But they're in no rush. They're not in win-now mode.
No.
I think it's okay for a roster to be under construction when you have a second-year quarterback.
Yeah, I don't think it's a bad thing. They just seem like they have some moves to make. Like, they're deep. They're one of the only teams you could come up with a whole second starting offensive line. Like, they have all these backups who have started games mostly for them, so there could be trades there. It's like they've got Chris Long and maybe Vinny Curry coming off the bench. It's just – a lot of players.
Well, so Jason Kelce, you're right. It seems like in Roto World too, on Twitter, you see his name pop up. The Saints were considered a landing spot potentially as trade bait because they don't know exactly where they'll be with Max Unger. It sounds like you'd wait on Max Unger. But what about swinging a trade for one of their running backs at some point?
Right. Like, they're just a team, I think, in training camp. Maybe they're going to be looking for a running back. They're going to be looking for certain different pieces. And I think, like, as injuries happen in camp, just that they could be a team to watch.
All right, what else we got, Greg?
All right.
I like going through Greg putting in the work, and now we're just mining him or pumping him for information. Love this.
Do you?
I don't know. I do.
I love it.
I'm enjoying it.
All right. Let's stay in the NFC East. Is this – I guess I'll ask a question, but I'll give my answer – I think this is the best supporting cast Eli Manning has ever had. I mean, just kind of looking at all the names in a row, and I know the offensive line is not great, but to have Marshall Beckham, and maybe you didn't need to do this exercise to do this, Evan Ingram, Sterling Shepard, like, has he ever had a better group of receivers to go with? There's a lot to like about this Giants team.
This is a great wide receiver group, assuming, and we've talked about this, we've talked about everything at this point, we get towards mid-May, but there is a question whether, at least as a Jet fan watching Brandon Marshall, if he lost a step or two, and wide receivers can fall off very quickly in this league, as we've seen. So it could be a little bit looks better on paper than it is in reality, but then you look at Sterling Shepard, and he could be a guy that's making the leap candidate if we resurrect that series. Connor, you got the boots on the ground in Jersey. Are people excited about the Giants?
I think they are, but it's like you said, this is an on paper scenario right now. So, and who are you? My big question is, who are you taking off the field? Like, everyone says, oh, we've got this
Ingram,
guy and this
probably,
guy and this guy.
I guess.
And, right. And so you're operating an offense that only runs one formation. I mean, you run the same like 11 personnel every time you're on the field, and so where are you fitting in this rookie tight end who's not a great blocker in a position where he needs to be, and who's sacrificing? Is Sterling Shepard losing opportunities just so you can stick Brandon Marshall on the field?
Is Ingram the first time in a while, maybe since Shockey, where Eli had a guy that was a real marquee in terms of pedigree guy? Because his career, Eli is sneaky, had a lot of productive tight ends.
Bennett had a sneaky good year.
That you don't remember anymore, but he's always been able to get production out of that position. Now all of a sudden you put in a guy that's a potential, a real talent, that could be something big.
The one thing is I look at them, their offensive line, and you look at Dallas, one of the best offensive lines, if not the best in the entire league, and arguably – arguably the best running back in Ezekiel Elliott. And you go to New York, you've got a shaky offensive line, I would say, and the running back depth is really, really kind of a mess, in my opinion. And it cost them games last year. It cost them drives and points.
It's weird they didn't get anyone else. And they're another team that could pick up a running back. They've been associated with
Gary Blunt.
Like, their good positions are unbelievable. They're as good a run defense on paper as any team in the NFL. They're about as good a secondary on paper as any team in the NFL. And then the receivers. And then you're right, with their bad positions, like the line and the running backs, are really bad.
And one more point about the offensive line. And you hit on this last week, Greg, and I thought it was a good thing to bring up. Especially this time of year, everyone's like, oh, their offensive line sucks. It's like, it's not an easy position to really know, and people act like they do. It's also a position that could sneaky get – it could be decent during the year. Same thing could happen in Cincinnati. Even though it doesn't have marquee guys and some question marks, they could do a little, you know, spit and – what is it, sticks? Spit? Is that the expression?
I mean, I guess you could do that.
Yeah, you get some
spits
sticks,
and sticks.
Some no, it's grass not spit. Particles.
Well, what is the spit going to do with the sticks?
Well, you got to hold
just
the sticks.
Just a drippy stick.
Okay, you got to have some type of base, and then you're building a fort, essentially, with spit and other things. Mm. Spit is serving as the bonding
I think we're
agent.
Closer to a smoke and mirrors scenario here, but it's here's the thing. It wasn't a good line last year, and what have they done?
Nobody knows the spit thing.
Never heard of that before.
I don't, to be honest.
I know. I
think if one of your two words were closer to the real thing,
we'd
be closer.
It sounds vaguely familiar, but you're so far away that it's tough to know what it is.
Maybe something in spittle, potentially.
All right, I'm going to – don't look at my computer while I try to figure this out, Greg, but you can move on.
I like that me looking at your computer is now a new running bit on the show.
It's always
I've been getting tweets about it.
It's always happened, but now am I starting to be like, no more.
That's fair.
Well, Greg also nearly knocked a full cup of water onto Dan's computer in excitement today.
I gesticulate. Sometimes my arms are flying around, and yes, you're right, that was dangerous. All
which
right,
is funny, but also funny because Greg is on strike 2.5 within this company for ruining multiple things with liquid spilling on his own laptop, and you almost took mine out.
It's true. It's been like 3 years. I was told 3 or 4 years ago that if you ruin another computer by spilling something on it, you are paying for that computer. And you know what? That worked. I have not ruined anything
they
since.
They scared you straight.
I like that an IT guy yelled at you.
I'm going to go over to the AFC South and the Indianapolis Colts and – looking at their defense, and we've talked about this a decent amount this season, but the number really stuck out to me that if you look at what Chris Ballard did on their defense, it is possible that only two, and this is on the low end, but it's at least possible, only two starters from the Colts defense will be back this year and starting for this team. That is how much they have turned over that defense.
I think that's always been the problem. Like, everyone fixated on the offensive line, and rightfully so. But you have a defensive head coach, and he had absolutely zero talent to work with for the last 2 or 3 years. Art Jones might have been your best defensive player last year.
It was guys
on
like
paper.
They had DeQuell Jackson, who was, you know, there was no question he was not going to be there for much longer. And in a secondary that was just a patchwork injury-prone secondary.
Right, like, on one level, that makes – like, we like these moves. On the other – 9 new starters at the same time. And it's the number, to be fair, is probably going to be like 7 or 8 new starters. It's just you could see a way that it was only 2. And those 2 for me were Vontae Davis and Clayton Gathers. Their safety were sure things. But that's a lot to ask. I mean, that's a lot to ask. Your entire linebacker crew and most of the defensive line is totally different.
It's like in Scrabble, which I've not played in about a decade, but you dump all your letters except for Q, and then you start over. In this case, I think – that Chris Ballard has actually made this team a much more interesting team on defense. It has to
What's
all
gel. What's your favorite type of frog?
I know he's on your guys' radar, or sonar, as listeners will point out about the sound that we have. But, yeah, he's done a good job.
No, radar would indicate that there's something I have an issue with him, or just, you know.
It's how it feels. But
tracking it a little bit. It's a tracking scenario. I guess I'll give our boy that. We'll give him the fact that he's been very proactive here.
Yeah, it's
now, whether
it's
or not
the
these guys
opposite.
Can play as a team.
Well, you lived thing. Under the era of the glacier where it's like you are allowed to make a transaction. 3 months have passed. You're allowed to do something.
Yeah. If I'm a Colts fan who is annoyed and sick and tired of watching my defense get shredded, I like a guy coming in and cleaning house. I'll take that.
Dump it out.
Dump it out is right. Mark,
the Colts,
Greg.
2017. Greg, dump it out.
Dump it out.
Greg, dump something else out on us.
All right.
Dump
How
it.
About the fact that the best skill position player on the Baltimore Ravens
oh, no.
is Mike Wallace? That this is a team that we're thinking, okay, this is a playoff contending team, and the best skill position player, I would say that Joe Flacco has, the most dependable guy, is Mike Wallace.
Wait, are we jumping into the Ravens nest?
Oh, I guess so.
Are we
Here
jumping
we are
in?
Again.
All right, let's jump in. Into the Ravens nest we go. Go ahead. Here we are in the nest.
I mean, we talked about this a little bit when we went around the AFC, but just looking at it all on paper, really, it stuck out to me that their third receiver right now is either Chris Moore or the guy who made two catches in the Super Bowl, Chris Matthews. Like, they don't have a third receiver. Mike Wallace is their number one receiver. Terrence West is their top running back. And as Evan Silva of RotoWorld put it, like, they have a lot of tight ends, Dennis Pitta and Crockett Gilmore and Max Williams, these guys. Like, none of them are above average starters that are helping their team. Like, this looks like a mess.
By the way, he had four catches in the Super Bowl for 109 yards and a touchdown.
It's a big game. He had the three long catches. You're right.
It's the same issues that they've had on offense, I think, for about two seasons, where you don't have the type of players that can break a team's back. And they've been really clear about their goals. They want to build an offensive line to rival Dallas. It's easy to say that, but they actually invested two draft picks in that, and all on defense. They do have one of the potentially better defenses in the entire league, but you're going to win games 19-17.
Okay, that's fair that the defense could be good. But even that, when I looked at, like, here are some guys starting. Chris Wormley, a rookie. Bronson Cufasi might be starting at defensive end. Those are totally new guys. Like,
was that the guy in Perfect Strangers?
Like, who is their best pass rusher? I guess it's Terrell Suggs, but after that, who is it? I mean, they're counting on some young guys. Albert McClellan played a lot for them last year. Like, I don't know. I guess I don't quite see it.
Dennis Pitta's still on the team.
They develop their defensive players quickly, and they develop them well. That's something they do. They seem to do year after year in Baltimore.
Cufasi, Sydney tells me. How about that?
Just what's up, Sid?
Cufasi.
Yeah, Cufasi.
See a BYU
Bronson
guy?
Bronson Cufasi, yeah.
It's got to be.
Mm.
It's got to be. If Sydney's plugged in on the details of a
Do you know how to pronounce
player.
Kamalea Korea as well, who's also potentially starting for the Ravens?
No, not plugged in there.
Kamale.
You guys forget, again, all this, like, crapping on here in the Ravens' nest of all people, of all places, and not being respectful. You forgot about one man. Justin freaking Tucker. He's going to win at least five games on his own. 10 wins, whether we like it or not. I'm telling you.
Maybe it's
okay
time for Baltimore to go through 17 to 25 years of tough times.
That's what I think, because it fits in over the weekend.
Numbers up.
I decided, a birdie just kind of came in my head, and I decided, you kind of circle the teams you're going to pick to make the playoffs, or you think about these things, at least I do. Like, the Cincinnati Bengals are going to the playoffs in 2017. They're coming back. They're kind of off the radar this year. They're back, and the Ravens are a big disappointment.
Is this what you decided when you were staring at the Beachbody set up without texting Mark or Connor about something that would have been very important to them?
Tough trip. Tough trip in the Ravens' nest. Let's climb out. All right, you got anything else, Greg?
All right, let's do – do we want to do one more?
Let's do
two
one more.
More?
Oh, you tell me. Is it worth doing two more? If it is, we should.
you tell me.
All right.
The Miami Dolphins, best offense since the Dan Marino era that they've had. Just a statement.
Well, that –
not
it
a lot
is,
of competition.
Exactly. What are they up against? What would be if the Marino offense is number one, what is currently number two?
The year they had to run the Wildcat.
That might be the, that
Pat
was
White.
That was in Chad,
the year with Chad Pennington. Did some
Williams?
Of the Jay Fiedler years were actually a little better than people remember. So yes, it's not a high bar, but that's a good looking. It's a good looking group.
But it almost is like the type of thing where it's a
it sounds
interesting
better.
Thing to say, but then it doesn't really mean anything.
Oh
well, they were fifth. They were fifth in points. They were fifth in points.
Parker Stills,
back in like 2001,
Landry, 2002. And you add Julius Thomas to that. Really. Fifth in points in 2002 with who as their quarterback?
Let me look at this here.
Fiedler? The Fiedler era?
Feeds.
I'm looking it up.
Good running game.
Yeah, they were the eighth overall. Eighth in points, 21st in yards. Which, I mean, eighth in points. You had Fiedler as your quarterback.
So this
went to the playoffs. They went to 11-5 back to back. But you looked at those Dolphins teams. I think one of them lost to the Ravens in the playoffs. That you knew they were like the current Chiefs. You're going to go about a game in. You're going to get bumped. We don't really believe in you.
You're right though, Greg. This could be the best Dolphins offense.
They should be excited.
2001 Miami Dolphins.
I mean, what about when they Chad Pennington led them to a division.
They got some stars. I don't think
it could be a good offense.
I mean, it could be great.
Yeah.
Stills,
great.
Parker, Julius Thomas, Tannehill getting better. Yeah.
You think this could be a
Jay Ajayi
offense?
I think
top five
be.
Offense.
If I was a Dolphins fan, I would be excited. You've got some stars on defense. You got these guys. All right, one.
The division's wide open. One more.
One last one. Do we trust John Elway in terms of fixing their – I feel like their whole team, there's a lot of teams like that, totally depends on their offensive line. And doing this, it made me realize how much that offensive line has turned over. Only one starter is going to be back in the exact same position. You got Garrett Bowles, who's going to be their left tackle. You got Ronald Leary, who got this huge contract, even though he was kind of a forgotten guy in Dallas. It's a lot to ask. Like, he hasn't done it before. Elway's kind of swung and missed. And he's got four guys in different spots, three totally new players on the team. And to me, if they're not good, like, that's the worst roster in the division overall.
I miss Wes, obviously. And I miss him especially now because this is the part of the show where I'd go against him about John Elway. Because he is a darling of the league and a darling in this room. But they did win the Super Bowl 2 years ago. And we did an NFL Network hit last week where we were all in agreement that we thought they were going to go last place. And you're just saying now that their roster's got all sorts of problems. You know, maybe I always had a rough year or two now. Is that fair to say? If they're all of a sudden now in a tough position in this division when you look at where the competition stacks up?
You were also building to that Super Bowl. I mean, that was a veteran-laden team, and you have to – I mean,
that's fair.
Kind of have to accept like that tapering down process. At least you did get that Super Bowl out.
Didn't have a line really then either. That's the thing. Maybe it'll be good on paper. It looks better. I mean, you have a first round pick. You paid Leary a lot of money. Like Menelik Watson is their right tackle. He's a guy who was kind of a bit of a bust in Oakland. So it's just a lot.
I mean, their down year. They were 9-7 last year, and it feels like a disappointing year. They're just a higher class franchise than the bottom third of the league. Where an off year, you go 2-14, everyone gets fired, you start over. I mean, I think the bigger question is Vance Joseph. This is a high pressure job. I think Denver. You've got suddenly you're walking into your first training camp with a quarterback battle where you don't know what either of these quarterbacks really can be. Trevor Siemian, I think we all like more than some people do, but there's a lot of questions there, and that offensive line undid this team last season. And you're right, there's no reason to think, just like we looked at with the Giants, that there's a lot of reasons to think it's improved.
They're losing maybe a first ballot. If there's a coordinator Hall of Fame, Wade Phillips is like the first guy who gets
lost,
and they're replacing him with Joe Woods. I mean, maybe Joe Woods is fine. I don't know anything about Joe Woods.
Well, Mark, you are our knowledge man on coordinators. Tell us a little bit about Joe Wood.
I mean,
starting with his personal
Woods.
Life. Sure. His personal life.
Yes.
And very strong personal life.
Yeah.
Got a good character as far as my investigations have looked into at this point. Still very early in my Mr. Woods file building.
Yes.
So let's get back to me in a brief bit. I don't have a lot to offer you.
Born in North Vandergrift, Pennsylvania.
There you go. Pennsylvania.
You knew that, right?
Well, that's sort of the obvious,
right.
You know, any football fan knows that.
That's the hits.
You know, what they've done a really good job with Denver and Elway as well is, at this point, squelching any type of issues with the first-round quarterback, what's going on with this guy. It hasn't been a huge story yet, but I wonder if a guy they took in the first round, Paxton Lynch last year, like what does Siemian have to do to actually hold him off?
Yeah.
And will we see – does Siemian have to play really well – to stay in the lineup, or is he even play? If he plays as a league average starter, is that not enough to keep them from justifying the pick?
I don't think. I think they said when they drafted Paxton Lynch that they were comfortable sitting him for at least 2 years. And you know, best laid plans always blow up. But I do think that they like Trevor Siemian a lot more than the rest of the general public. And I don't think they'd be embarrassed at all if they have to start him for the next 2 or 3 years. I think he's preferred. definitely to with the receivers and everybody else in the room too.
Like whether you like Elway or not, like they don't panic at the quarterback position. They really just haven't seemed to do that. And Lynch is one of the few. It's so tropey to say a quarterback's going to be a red shirt quarterback and then he's playing by the end of September on a trash heap team, but I don't think that it doesn't feel like there's pressure to put Lynch in. Like,
well, he did play a little.
It was injury related, but yeah.
And I really went back and forth. Who would you guys have put? I mean, this is obviously just total guesswork.
Simeon.
I'm not pretending that I know. I just guessed Simeon but I thought, to your point, Dan, if Lynch is even in the ballpark, he's going to start. Like Simeon
That's
has to be much
like to
better than him.
Chad Kelly, week one.
And if the season does, yeah. That's right. That's one of the great predictions in the history of the show. If the season does go sideways, and let's face it, they're in a loaded division, they'll probably turn the reins over as well. If they're 4-7 or something, and even if Simeon's playing well and it's not his fault,
you got
to play the kid probably. All right, Greg, nice work. NFL.com/projected starters. Nice vanity URL. Gets right to the point. Not going to confuse. Mark, you had that potential issue with the apostrophe for your Mother's Day feature.
Well, I think the metrics would suggest, as far as I know, that it did cause problems for people.
What
probably.
Do you mean? Stop.
Everyone just hammering the keyboard. There should be an apostrophe here.
That's one of those grammatical ticks that most people don't know the answer to begin with.
People should check it out. Who cares that Mother's Day passed? I didn't read it until late last night, and it was I haven't talked to Mark since. It was a wonderful piece. People should read it.
But it was still Mother's Day when you read it.
True. You're not on the East Coast.
Maybe
yeah.
something.
Well, we had to get the NFL's Twitter account to know that it existed yesterday afternoon to tweet it out. So. Fighting an uphill battle in this building.
This is what I'm going to do because I missed Mother's Day. I'm going to bookmark it, and then next May, I'm going to devour it.
There you go.
A click is a click.
I'd say give it to Harris and let him read it. It'll calm him right down for you.
Can't wait. Connor.
That's your kid's name, Harris?
Yeah.
All right.
Harrison, Harry.
I found out about the other one recently. I didn't know there was a second one running around.
Harrison's the second one.
Right. Yeah. That's okay. Yeah. That's not a big deal. There's a lot going on in the world, I'm sure. You got a lot going on in the Haunted Mansion.
Politics and stuff, it's tough. Yeah. But I'll get there.
Yeah, what was promoted more, Harrison Hansis or my Mother's Day piece, would you say?
On NFL.com, it was probably about equal.
I mean, you're getting on me for not updating you on Autumn Calabrese's whereabouts. Yeah, maybe Dan needs to do a better job letting Connor know about all the children he's having.
Yeah, just kind of let.
What am I, Antonio Cromartie?
Text me and just keep me in the
loop. Give you a heads up.
Had a child, a second one. Name, colon.
Actually, do you want the real truth of the matter? And it's funny because it came up earlier. His name came up. The day my son was born, Harrison, which was in November, I texted Connor. And I said, you're not going to believe this. I just realized after the fact that the name of my two sons are the same names as Mike Francesa's two sons, Jack and Harrison.
What?
So, in fact, Connor is the only person that I texted with on the day of my son's birth, and yet he doesn't have any memory.
Ooh. Yeah.
So
no,
you want to talk about La Ravilla Magnifico.
Oh!
Ooh.
How caught up in your own stuff are you? That wasn't even processed.
No, I'm fully prepared to admit that I'm a garbage human being.
Well, you'll fit right in here, Connor, in the next couple shows.
Wait, I'm supposed to believe that you didn't intentionally name your children the same as Mike Francesa's, one of your idols.
I'm telling you.
It's kind of amazing. I don't know. That's awesome.
Yeah, I don't know how it could have happened, but that's the truth. All right, Connor, it was great having you today. Come back Wednesday, but you got to come back with fire. We're talking... Or are you kidding me, fire?
I'm going to get into a bar fight at the Whaler, and then I'll be ready to go.
Look forward to it. Let's get Kagongo. Sydney!
Yes?
Hey, let's reach out to Kagongo, too.
Yeah, okay. Yeah,
it's going to be fun. All right. Until then, this is Dan Hansa signing off for Quiet Storm. Or are you kidding me? The old boss, a new money behind the glass. Till Wednesday.